Hello, everybody, and welcome to a nice 69th episode of the Need to Nerd podcast.
Dun, 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 dun.
I'm your host, Spencer, and I'm joined by my co-host.
Dun, 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 dun.
That's not the next. You got to do it right, man. I don't know what to tell you. I'm joined by my co-host, a person that at one point would not have dated somebody who hadn't seen all the Star Wars films, Wes Singleton.
I told you that in confidence.
You know, I want to bring it up, though, because I think that one thing that happens in life is we mature, right? Mm-hmm. We grow up, and we realize that people can love what they love, and they can not like what they don't like. And it's funny, because like, when you said that to me, do you remember how I responded?
Well, you said that was an opportunity to show it to them.
Yeah, and I think that, like, growing up is accepting the fact that people might not love the things that you like, but getting to share those things with them is really cool. So
it's true. I will say, though, that the real challenge is if you are willing to prioritize the thing you love more than the person is, if their reaction is not what you want, you definitely feel bad about it. But that is a very much past time of my life. I just didn't know I wanted it to be said on the internet before everyone.
That's okay. I mean, one of my best friends doesn't like Star Wars, and it was a point of contention for us for a long time.
A lot of points of contention with that person, I'm pretty sure.
What? Me and Mason are homies, bro.
Oh, it's a Mason. Okay.
Who did you think it was?
I don't know. I thought it was Mr. Bloodworth, actually.
No,
he's a big fan.
Casey is as big of a Star Wars fan as I am in a lot of ways.
Good.
I'm really excited for today. If you haven't noticed, we are going to finally do the Star Wars sequels. And I want to take everybody back to the 2000s.
When you were gonna say 2015. But
no, I want to take everybody back to the 2000s when people were just disliking the prequels was in vogue. It was really cool. And if you liked the prequels, you had bad taste. Well, flash forward. It's 2022 now. People love the prequels. It's cool to like the prequels. And
it says who?
It says the world now.
Apparently.
Like, and the thing is that if you are here to listen to us just dunk on the sequels, you're probably at the wrong podcast. It's probably not the one for you. We're going to talk about the things that we didn't like. We're going to talk about the things that we liked. But it's probably going to be more positive than you're looking for if you're just looking for somebody to bash on this thing that you enjoy bashing on.
We've said it many times that we are here to enjoy the Star Wars that is placed in front of us.
Yeah.
My bar is very low. I want TIE Fighter zooming across screen.
Dude, that sound is so cool.
There's so much of this in this
Yeah.
of movies.
With that being said, before we get into the sequels, what have you been up to, West?
Oh, I have been playing some Pokemon Legends Arceus still. I've been reading books for school. I've been rewatching The Magicians, the sci-fi television show that I really can't recommend because it makes me feel bad when I watch it, so I'm not going to recommend it to anyone else. But if you're if you've read the books, if you are good at shielding your heart as you watch intense television, go for it, I guess.
That's awesome, dude. Video games are in a really good place for me right now. I downloaded the Triangle Strategy demo for the Nintendo Switch. It lets you play the prologue, the first three chapters, and then transfer that save data over. Haven't even started it. While it was downloading, I got really excited and just started playing Final Fantasy Tactics Advanced. It's one of my favorite video games of all time. But also, like, we're in an interesting place right now in video games for me where I restarted Red Dead Redemption 2, and I've really been enjoying that. And honestly, this is a perfect opportunity since we're doing a Star Wars podcast, but I think it might be my favorite video game of all time over KOTOR.
I was reminded that I was playing through KOTOR earlier today because I was looking at my main menu of my Switch, and I will have to like get back to playing that. I don't think I set it down for any specific reason. I think I just got distracted.
That's okay. It's a pretty easy one to pick up again, so I wouldn't be too sad about that. It's funny. Video games are like in a great place. Like Valheim's about to get an update. It's in my top five favorite video games of all time. You know, I have so many games that I'm going to right now where, like, okay, I'm kind of stressed. I just want to relax and like watch a YouTube video or something. And so, like, one of the things that I've been doing is like playing Valheim while I watch it while watching Demon Slayer. Because I've never watched Demon Slayer before, so I started that while playing Valheim, and it's been really fun.
I can only assume that dubbed Demon Slayer is perfect second activity.
Yeah, it's been pretty great. Like, legitimately. It's really easy to follow along with, especially when you're, like, doing chores in Valheim. So that's kind of what I've been up to. A lot of video games. A ton of Magic the Gathering, like an inappropriate number compared to how much free time I actually have. But yeah, let's get into the show though. It's good to hear us kind of both relaxing to our nerd stuff, but I was shocked by this fact. Wes, do you remember in the Last Jedi when Luke is talking to R2?
Oh yeah.
And he's like, R2 is trying to convince him to go help.
Replays the Help Me Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yes. Do you know why it looked so bad?
Because it was 1970s CGI.
No.
And by pre-CGI is what I mean.
No. So they did it on film. And then they took the film and like stomped on it in the dirt at Skywalker Ranch. Like they tried to make it look worse than it would have looked.
When you take a map and you put it in coffee, ground water, right? Like to make it look old. And
yes. Okay, so they like specifically made the film look worse because, you know, it's like to make it seem like it was deteriorated from the like original version that he would have seen.
Yeah. R2's memory banks are famously unreliable.
Isn't that wild? I thought that was such a good one.
That is sweet. That's like a huge attention to detail thing.
Yeah, I loved that one a ton. I loved it a ton. Let's do some housekeeping really quick before we dive super deep. Just want to mention the Discord. I do plan on doing a Valheim night the second that the new update is released. It's currently on a public branch. Once it's released, we'll do a Valheim night in the Discord. Don't forget to head on over to Patreon, patreon.com/EZGameMedia. Support the show directly. But Wes, let's talk about the sequels. What are the sequels?
What are they?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say it, but if you want to, do you want to do it?
They have names.
Yeah.
Like, enough? I mean, they are The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, and The Rise of Skywalker.
They are the thing that we were all promised, years and years and years ago, where George Lucas says to Mark Hamill that one day he wants to do a movie where he is the Obi-Wan and he is the teacher. And after the acquisition from Disney, it was announced that we would be getting those sequels. And I think that these were the most anticipated films probably of all time.
I was very excited going into The Force Awakens, I'll tell you that.
And also, I think that it was not yet cool to like the prequels, so people were really scared about The Force Awakens. And going into these, you have all of these expectations. You have to meet prequel fans, these kids that watch the prequels. You have to meet new Star Wars fans, people getting into Star Wars for the first time. And then you have to meet those legacy fans, those people that are really dedicated to Star Wars and what it means to them. And, you know, the sequels, and specifically The Force Awakens, had a lot to live up to. And we're going to talk about if it happened. Let's talk about our first-time reactions, though. I'm going to go first because I vividly remember each and every one of these films. Not only do I remember that, but I remember the build-up to each of them. We had Star Wars Day before The Force Awakens, and I remember seeing BB-8 for the first time. I was home. I was not at work that day. I had taken PTO just to watch this event. And I remember BB-8 rolling on the stage. I remember seeing the new Stormtrooper outfits. I remember the stage being filled with C-3PO, R2-D2, BB-8, Leia, Luke. Like, it was a day. I mean, I have pictures on my Facebook of that day. Like, I just took screenshot after screenshot of excitement. And I remember the thing that I posted after walking out of the theater watching that movie. And I said, don't worry, it's good. It was...
That's a good summing up of that film, I will say.
I loved the first Force Awakens. I think that it's probably the most underrated Star Wars movie in a lot of ways. And the...
Using the true definition of underrated here?
Yeah, it's super underrated. And, like, it's underrated because...
Measuring the differential between its actual quality and how much people talk and think about it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I agree.
It's easily the most underrated Star Wars movie. And maybe Revenge of the Sith held that spot for a while, but I think people have caught up to that movie being pretty great.
And then there's, you know, like, the most properly rated Star Wars film ever, Rogue One.
Being one of the best films ever made?
Yeah, yeah, like, oh, okay. Being one of the best films ever, and everyone knows it, is how it's the most popular.
Okay. Yeah, I get a lot of crap for saying that Rogue One is better than Empire. Like, people get mad at me, and I'm like, okay, I understand that you like the Empire is one of the best movies ever made, but Rogue One is just, like, actually insane. Like, just so good.
The difference is that I think Empire is one of the best movies ever made in the 1970s.
So I also remember The Last Jedi. I remember the trailer of Luke, you know, talking about being the Last Jedi. I remember wondering what that means. I remember, you know, the build up between what is Rey? Is she a Kenobi? Is she a Skywalker? Is she
the trailer really emphasizing the mirror moment.
Yes. And, you know, Rise of Skywalker, you know, all of these films had such strange backlash. You know, calling Rey a Mary Sue in Force Awakens, even though, like, any argument you could make to that could be applied to Luke in by, like, a substantial margin, or Anakin.
Yeah, I was going to say, Anakin in Phantom Menace is about as Mary Sued as it gets.
Like, you know, The Last Jedi getting crap for, like, bombs falling in space. The weirdest.
To rank the number one moments of, like, physics not being what I expected, or, like, retconning things that, like how did no one ever do this before? Or why are there pieces of the Death Star I saw firmly explode into very small bits in space?
Yeah, just the weirdest. All of these had their, like, weird controversies. People love to nitpick these films. But I remember just walking out of each film loving it. And
yeah.
I tried really hard with these movies to go in with such little expectations. And in all honesty, like, the one that was the hardest for me was actually The Last Jedi. My reaction walking out of there was like, did I like that?
We're going to talk plenty about The Last Jedi this episode, but it's definitely the one that is the hardest to know what you feel about immediately.
Yeah. Those are mine. What about you? What were your first reactions?
Going into The Force Awakens, I don't think I could have possibly been disappointed, because I had a group of friends from my, like, elementary and middle school days that I was going with, and we'd gone to all the Hobbit movies together. So, like, we were used to going to bad movies that we'd built up in our minds.
Hot take. I enjoyed the Hobbit movies. Like,
I enjoyed about a movie's length of the Hobbit movies.
I think that the problem with the Hobbit... I think you covered it, actually. Keep going.
Yeah, okay. I, you know, had seen the trailer. I, you know... was just totally excited because like this was before I'd like I hadn't seen any Clone Wars. I hadn't like this was the first like at that time, right? Like this is I had not seen any Star Wars content outside of the movies, and I hadn't gotten a new movie in a very long time. And you know, I barely remember being at the place to consider the prequels as new movies, right? Like I was 7 when I watched Attack of the Clones. So like, yeah, I know.
I'm the one that's feeling old here, man. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
But going into The Force Awakens was sweet. Like, that movie was designed to have been for your first watch through in theaters, with it having been 10 years since you'd seen a new Star Wars movie. Right? Like, it was all about, like, that the moment where, like, you see Han and Chewie. It's all about, like, that moment where the camera turns and you see the Millennium Falcon.
Dude,
and all the hunk of junk.
I cried so many times during that film.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's totally, like, that's what the film's about. It's about the nostalgia of Star Wars. But
it's funny because they did, into it. They really did fan service the right way. And I love, like, I know that people are like, oh, there's so much fan service. It's like, I don't like what, it's a Star Wars movie.
I'll always be happy to see the ghost in a fleet, even if it doesn't make sense that the ghost is in the fleet, right? Like, I love fan service in Star Wars. Like, very different feeling going into, like, and I saw Force Awakens multiple times in theaters, right? Like, saw it with my friends, saw it with my dad, saw it on my own, right? Like, it was like, I just kept wanting to watch that movie. For The Last Jedi, I remember getting kind of tired in the middle of the film, there are a lot of points in that film where, like, you're like, okay, we just had the climax, right? No, we didn't just have the climax. Great. Okay, we'll keep going here. I didn't realize there's now a whole nother Hoth battle to have. And like in and around all of that, right? It's just a super, like, if Force Awakens is everything that like Star Wars feels like it should be, Last Jedi is forcing us to reconsider what Star Wars is. And like that was something that like it caught me at a really good time too, because I think that like I was prepared to understand The Last Jedi for what The Last Jedi was, but I needed time to process it, which was great. And then for Rise of Skywalker, I think my expectations were in a different place because I know that it's hard to end things, right? And I didn't really know how they were going to accomplish what they were doing, and
I have so many thoughts on this.
Returning, coming back, like that was not what I expected. What the last shot, Rise of Skywalker, was going to be about. So, like, that one was one that I got to walk into with, I think, zero expectations, and I think it met my zero expectations.
Let's seeded them even. Let's go into some high level impressions. Because I think every single one of these films, if you don't take the trilogy that is this trilogy into consideration, are actually really good movies.
Yeah. Because, when we talked about the prequels trilogy, right, we really focused on, like, what is the purpose of the prequel trilogy, right? Like, there was a message, there was a destination we were arriving at. And this trilogy had one. It was just super non-linear to get there, I think. Right? It was like, okay, how do we get to a galaxy that is totally clear of Empire clutter? Right? That's kind of the question.
Yeah, and it's funny, like, you know, I'm going to take some time to talk about some nerdy stuff for a second. Because
you're a Star Wars nerd?
I know, right? So, some of the complaints about this come from a few different places. One, the Legacy of the Force is like an actually really good book series for Star Wars. Star Wars has a lot of clunkers.
Is that where Ben Skywalker gets his, or Ben Solo gets kind of his start in the...
Yeah, so this is a good question. So, the character of Ben Solo is based off of the character Jason Solo. So, in the Legends canon, the first kids that Han and Leia have are actually twins. Jason and is it Jaina? Oh my gosh.
Oh, you're gonna be unhappy with yourself if you got this one
I
wrong.
it is Jaina. I'm right. Okay. Woo! Woo!
Everyone relax.
And then their third child is Anakin Solo. There's so many parallels between the New Jedi Order and Legacy of the Force and the show, and I'm just going to go over a couple of them really quick. So first of all, another Death Star. So they're in New Jedi Order, which is the series in which the world, it's like a 22 book series. It's like insane. But they get attacked by what's called the Yuuzhan Vong, this alien race, and one of the things that they try to do to combat this is they use this space station that uses gravity. It's this huge, massive space station that uses gravity to move things, and it can actually only be controlled by Anakin Solo. There's something in his DNA that connects directly to the space station that allows him to do that. So there's a few things that happen. One, Anakin Solo, just huge spoilers. If you are gonna go read all the Legends books, I'm about to spoiler a ton of stuff.
I think that we're allowed to spoil a 22 book
40-year-old
series.
stuff. Yeah.
That's, yeah.
So Anakin Solo and Chewbacca die really early in these series, in the New Jedi Order series. Part of what happens is because of the death of his brother, and because of kind of what happens with the Yuuzhan Vong, Jason Solo turns into like becomes a Sith, and Jason is one of my favorite characters in all of Star Wars, and I think a lot of people feel that way, not because of his overarching theme. It turns out after the end of all of it that what Jason is doing is because he has this ability to project himself into the future, he actually sees that if he doesn't turn to the dark side and he doesn't do what he does,
Things go worse.
things get way worse, right? And he sacrifices himself in a lot of ways for the greater good of the galaxy, and Luke has to go and prove that later on. And the stuff that you see in the Clone Wars, where there's the father, the daughter, and the son, and that push and pull of like the good, the light side and the dark side. Do you remember that arc, West, where
In the Clone Wars?
in the Clone Wars, yes, where Anakin, Ahsoka, and Obi-Wan
Oh,
end up
okay.
on this place with the father, the daughter, and the son. The son represents the dark, the daughter represents the light. So that is actually from the series that follows the legacy of the Force. And the mother is the reason that this giant space station that defies gravity was even created, was actually to contain the mother of these things. And so there's a lot going on in the sequels that is based off of these characters. You know, you've got Jason who's or you've got Ben who's based off of Jason, right? This fall from
Yeah.
grace character. You've got Luke projecting himself in the Force to fight, which was a huge point of contention for what it's worth. People really hated the projection Luke, even though he did it multiple times against Jason in the novels. There's so much from a high level concept that they
It's
took.
a, I
Go
think it's
ahead.
a, I personally really love that moment where Luke projects with this
Oh,
with
I
the
love it
Force
too.
and causes a huge error on behalf of the First Order.
You know what's so crazy is I was so enveloped in that film at that moment that I didn't even notice that his feet weren't making marks, that he was using the wrong lightsaber. Like, I didn't notice any of it.
Yeah.
It was such an intense moment that, like, I was too captivated.
Sure. And that's like the point, right? Is it is an intense moment, right? Like, and the it you're like, what is going on? But like that is I think that something that gets confused over in like ideas of like honor is like, where does cunning and deception come into it? And like, this is a perfect example of an honorable deception, which I really enjoy.
Yeah, I think that there's so much calls to the three major series, Legacy of the Force, New Jedi Order, and oh man, I don't remember what series Outcast or the following series is called, but it's so funny because like even in the books, like Luke goes into exile forced upon him before the fall of Jason Solo, which is basically what happens here, right? Mm-hmm. It's not forced upon him in this case, right?
It's chosen,
but like there's so many calls to the legacy of Star Wars and all of the content that so many of us consumed to get that fix, but people also were upset that it wasn't the same.
It's actually funny that we're talking about this because the Magicians television show that I was talking about earlier in the podcast is loosely based on books and like acknowledges that those books exist and were different in how things played out. And like it was disconcerting at first, but like I don't think I would have it as like a recreation of those books. And I'm like, I think that like the fact that there are Easter eggs and pieces of the Star Wars Legends universe present in this time period that was extensively written about and like, you know, thought about like what would happen and with all these things that are going on. And like, but wasn't ever nailed down by something as forceful as a movie. I really like that they took some but didn't feel married to and kind of like, because they could have also totally ignored the existence of Legends, right? Not borrow any ideas from it. And I'm glad they didn't do that either.
Yeah, it's obviously like, I understand like the people wanted Jason, they got Ben. Actually, I said,
which is actually a marrying of probably Anakin being named after someone.
So to be fair, Luke's kid is named Ben
in the series.
In the series, yeah.
Got it. So it's like if we were going to name the first Skywalker kid of any kind, they were going to be a Ben Kenobi namesake for.
Yeah, that, I mean that's kind of the idea. So that was actually another complaint that people had was like why would Leia and Han name their kid after
someone they barely knew?
Yeah. And you know what? Like, I don't think that they could have introduced like six new kids, right? Like, it would have just been too hard. One of the things that I really love, though, is what you just talked about, where I'm getting the thing that I want, which is this idea of the Skywalker bloodline being important. I'm also getting this.
And complicated.
Yeah, and complicated. I'm also getting this. Maybe we'll get into this later, but like, I really love the frustration that Ben feels towards Han, and I think that that's really great.
I think that like, you can't write Han Solo as like a dad that his kids love him unconditionally. Like I don't know.
I mean, and they don't. The thing is like into that. Even in the books, like Han. The war in Legacy of the Force where Jason falls to the dark side is between Corellia, where Han is from, that has that space station, and the New Republic.
Okay.
And Han actually is like anti-New Republic and anti-Corellia, and he actually becomes a traitor. The whole thing, like, the number of analogs are great. I'm going way too deep into the, like, other side of this.
So let's find the way to end this conversation and then bring it back to these
films. Yeah, because I want to know where your high level impressions were.
I think that right, it's The Force Awakens is all about like this reintroduction of Star Wars, right? Because it's assuming that for the vast majority of people, they hadn't consumed any Star Wars content of any kind since Revenge of the Sith, right? And so it's and acknowledging that like the prequels are far more distant than the original trilogy, and less beloved at the time, right? So like they're like, okay, let's really put the emphasis on these characters of the original trilogy that we're bringing back, that we all implicitly know are high stakes, you know, are outsized people, and let's have that reflected in the universe, right? Like the part where Rey and Finn just are keep fan kidding out, right, over like everyone they meet the entire series or the entire movie is really funny, right? Like I love that part. I love that they're like, you're the Han Solo, the general or the war hero, no, the smuggler, right? Like that's really funny. And then we hit The Last Jedi, which is all about like the, let's reconsider like what is actually going on, right? Like there's a lot of moments in Star Wars where a Jedi runs in, solves all the problems, kills everyone against overwhelming odds. And like, let's really make that not what we're doing here, right? Like Rian Johnson was totally trying to introduce some very new attitudes into Star Wars, at least in terms of the motion pictures of the full movies, right? Like those attitudes exist in places elsewhere in Star Wars. And then The Rise of Skywalker, my overall impression was that it was landing a ship, and like many landings in Star Wars, kind of rocky. Or as Ewan McGregor would put it, another happy landing. And I think that's like Rise of Skywalker did not achieve those like big moments of feeling for me that the other two did. While it had lots of cool moments and it had parts of it that I was super excited to see on screen, right? Like I was so thrilled to have Sith holocrons in the plot at all. But like it didn't go past that for me.
What's your favorite film in the trilogy?
Oh, we're just jumping right into the next part.
Yeah.
It's Last Jedi.
Why?
I want things that make me think. I want things that are exciting. And I think that for me, I learned a lot through Poe Dameron's struggle with what Admiral Holdo was trying to do. I think I learned I learned more from that single like point of conflict in The Last Jedi than like I've learned from all other Star Wars media put together, because I viewed it as a like, here is a fundamentally problematic masculine urge and strategy, and let's compare it to one that sees a little clearer, holds the individual as only a part of a whole and not as a main character. And there are many other parts of that movie that I really loved, but that was the one that like I kept coming back to again and again as like, I am learning something here and I'm really glad to be seeing this play out in a Star Wars film.
I have two answers to this. My favorite movie in this trilogy is The Last Jedi, but also I hate The Last Jedi, and we'll get into this later.
It's the reason the whole trilogy doesn't work. I'll agree about that.
So here's the thing. I love all three of these films. I walked out of Rise of Skywalker and said it was maybe my favorite movie of all time. Just like, you know, with all the feels, crying.
Yeah.
Probably not really my favorite movie of all time. You know, it's got a lot of problems. In all honesty, I think my favorite is probably The Force Awakens. I think that movie is just a really smooth watch, A New Hope is already good. It's a better version of that movie. We'll get into that later, but like, The Force Awakens is just gas. I'm gonna do my could be betters first, because I'm already upset, and like I knew I was gonna get upset during this episode. We're actually recording later because I was sick and like didn't want to record as upset as I was, because like I was sick, I was already not in a good mood. I am still mad at Rian Johnson. And it's so hard because he made one of the most beautiful, if not, I mean, that's actually not true. He made the most beautiful cinematic Star Wars movie to ever exist. Like, but I hate that these films had different directors. I hate it. It, to my core, bugs me. I think the entire problem with the sequels is that we went from J.J. Abrams, who I know that people have problems with, but like is really good at setting stuff up. Like he's really good at like,
Feeding things into
yeah,
later
like just
stuff.
so good at it. It's so funny, right? Because like, I'm gonna pull up the Star Trek films really quick. Star Trek films. I'm trying to pull up the. So JJ didn't do Into Darkness, right? He did the.
Oh, you're testing me on some knowledge here that I'm far too shaky on.
I'm gonna look it up. Actually, JJ did all three.
Okay.
So JJ did Star Trek Beyond, and Star Trek Into Darkness. Here's the thing. I was a huge Star Trek watcher as far as like the movies. Like I've watched most of the movies. I even watched I didn't even I ignored the rule. Like I watched even and odd films.
Okay.
I think that the 2019, 2013, and 2016 Star Trek films are all really fun to watch.
Yeah.
And JJ does this thing where he captures you and makes everything fun. I
The
would have
making
ju
everything fun thing really comes through, and also like looking at their, I just scrolled through both of their IMDb pages, right? Like one of these directors has the resume for a Star Wars film. The other one, I
Dude,
know
can
one
we?
film he made, and it was very good, but it was
Are you
not
talking about
close to a
Looper
Star
or are you
Wars
talking
film.
about Knives Out?
Knives Out.
Okay. 'Cause I want to talk about when Rian Johnson was announced as the director for Last Jedi, I was upset. And people were really excited. And they're just different people than me. One of the most celebrated episodes of TV ever is Fly in Breaking Bad. And it is one of my least favorite episodes to ever exist in television. And literally, when he was announced, I knew who he was because he directed my least favorite episode in television. I hate basically everything that Rian Johnson has ever done.
Okay.
And my biggest could be better is I love The Last Jedi. Like as an individual film, I love what you said. I love that it challenges me as a Star Wars fan. I love, and we'll get into the things that I love. I actually will save a lot of my could be my love it's for that film because Ryan does a lot of great things here. I wish he did not direct a Star Wars film. And I think there's a reason that his Star Wars trilogy that they wanted to give him after this has been canceled. And it's because at some point you have to just accept the fact that what you are trying to do is too cute and too much. And like, you have to toe a line. And I get that there are people that want to challenge. I think that Ryan.
Do you know that Rian Johnson has an association with a different Star Wars movie, but a super minor one?
Oh, please tell me.
He is an Imperial technician in Rogue One.
That is great.
Super unhelpful.
The Last Jedi was really hard for me because I both loved it and also thought that it was so stupid that it made zero sense after the last movie. And then also, like, he just hands stuff to the next director. And I understand why they give it back to JJ, because they're like, all right, JJ, how would you have ended this? Because, like, it doesn't make sense.
Well, and like I think that like Rian Johnson really doesn't leave like much, right? Like their there are basically no new things created in this film. There are only
no. He just burns it to the ground.
Oh, absolutely.
He just and it's not just what JJ gave him. He burned Star Wars to the ground. Like, there's a moment. It'll actually be one of my. We'll just call this one of my loves. But like, when Rey throws the lightsaber and Luke catches it, and it says a Jedi's weapon deserves more respect. I love The Last Jedi, but
Rise of Skywalker, you're saying, right?
Yeah, Rise of Skywalker. Thank you.
Well, and it's such a redaction of handing the lightsaber to Luke that he just throws it over
because
his shoulder.
What Ryan is trying to do is call out toxic Star Wars fans, and I love that he's trying to do that. But also, just don't do it this way, dude. Like, don't burn it to the ground to do it.
Well, I mean, you look at the themes of, like, let the past die, kill it if you have to, the burning of the tree, right? There's so many things going on there that, like, are like...
Here's the thing.
But the thing I love the film, right, is it does make me, like...
I also love it. I hate what Ryan did, but I love that he did it. It's so weird. It's a weird could be better, but I wish Ryan didn't direct any of it. I just wish that he was either all JJ. I thought about this before the episode. I almost wish... I don't know what it would have cost them, but it couldn't have been too much for Disney, and I almost wish that they had done... Let George do it.
I was actually going to say that I'm astonished that these things aren't all I guess maybe Dave Filoni and I'm trying to remember the other.
Oh, if they could have done Dave, I mean, they would do that now, right? Like, if they
trust him.
They
now.
Just announced another trilogy, and I'm pretty sure that Dave is either like director or creative or something. They just announced it. I'll have to pull it up while you're talking. But those are that's my only could be better about this trilogy is that it doesn't make sense. And it's not because the story is bad. The story is good. The problem is that there is not cohesion because you allowed Rian Johnson to take a dump on the trilogy. And not even on a dump on the trilogy. Like, you allowed him to literally just, like, throw a middle finger to... Star Wars fans, with an emphasis on the toxicity of Star Wars fans, which I appreciate.
Had the lesson been learned, it would have been all worth it. The lesson was not learned, I think. I think, if anything, most toxic masculinity, when pointed out so blatantly, only responds aggressively. But granted, like, that film is... full of like things of like, okay, if you can do this, why doesn't everyone do it, right? Like, you know, if droids could light speed their ships through other ships, they would have been doing it always, because like, there's no cost of human life, right? Like,
no, they talk about the Holdo effect. All right, keep going.
No, like, well, tell me, is there like a post hoc rationalization of it? Because I'm willing to hear.
So it's not the way that light speed works. So what she did is actually against the law.
Against the rules of, like,
so ships, yeah, so things, so okay. Man, we're gonna get super nerdy if you let me go off here, but like, individual
cliff notes instead.
Yeah, so individual instances of light speed create their own instance of that hyperspace lane.
Okay,
so like, if you think about the way that a really stupid version of this, because it's not how anything works, and it's just how Star Wars explains it. You enter light speed, right? So you go into this hyperspace thing. So you should not interact with anything at all. And what she did is she started it at a point where she could interact because she hadn't actually left her reality or time-space continuum thing into another one. Right? Because if you think about it, once you enter the way that Star Wars works, once you enter light speed and you enter that hyperspace lane, which, by the way, is why it's so important in Solo that like the computer maps a new lane for them. you're there's not another thing there. You're in your own instance of this exact moment in time that you're traveling through. So she is starting that process and going through the ship.
Okay.
That's not a normal thing.
Basically,
that's
like just not getting quite fast enough, but fast enough to cause some serious damage.
No, I mean, wherever that ship ended up, I have no idea, but like it was, they got too close to her so that she could do that.
Okay. Interesting.
I mean, it's also why in the first movie when Han Solo is hyperspace jumping, they're like, "What are you doing?"
Oh, when he's like pulling out right before running into.
I would say that's another could be better for me. That's not how hyperspace works.
I like all of those things are like pretty unimportant to me in like Star Wars film. Like,
sure.
Because film.
It was great. It was interesting that he was doing it. Like the jumping was cool. Or maybe that was that the third film?
Are you talking about the lightspeed skipping in Rise of Skywalker?
Oh, I am talking about lightspeed skipping. Oh,
okay. Because that really throws me for a loop there because of like the way that for the vast majority of
Han going
has time within it, not instantaneous.
Time doesn't work the same way in hyperspace.
Well, evidently that's true. But
I mean, that would just be true in real life, right? Like, if you actually moved that fast, time would stop working that way.
But, like, when traveling to Alderaan from Tatooine, right? Like, there is time there and there. And maybe, like, it's that they're, like, going...
There's actually not. It's why you can travel that distance without aging.
Well, then why are they, like, hanging out playing chess?
So, I see what you're saying. So you're... Oh, man. We're going to get way too nerdy.
It's not worth it, right?
It's not worth the conversation. But, like, I would assume that you have zero gravity, which basically means you don't age during that time.
Well, whatever. But, like, my point is that just that, like, there are lots of moments where, like, hyperspace takes time and lots of moments where it's, like, it is the same day that we left at the exact same moment, but also whatever. But also whatever.
I want to go into your could be better though, because I feel like we're really focused on mine, because I really love what you're about to say here, and if obviously if we could travel in time, I would just do what you're saying.
Yeah. So and this is why I think I mentioned Dave Filoni as like a potential director for this series instead of people that had been on the outside of Star Wars up to this point, right? Like, the thing that Disney gets to do now by owning Star Wars and like what they're good at, right, is building these universes, right? This like everything Disney, like of the things Disney has done with Star Wars, I feel pretty close to that these prequels or these sequels are the worst of it.
Dude, people hate Solo, but I actually thought Solo was great.
Yeah, like Rogue One, Solo, the television shows that Disney has made are all fantastic. And one of the things I really like about all of those things is that they like give us what we want as fans, which is like things to nerd out on, right? It's like, oh shit, I know what we're talking about here, right? Like when, like my dad had no idea what a Mandalorian was, right? Going into the Mandalorian, like the only thing I could say is like that's what Boba Fett and Jango Fett were, right? That's it. But, like, that's because my dad had never watched any of the television shows or read a book about Star Wars, right? Like, but those things build worlds. They get to, like, create, like the Jedi don't live in, like, this one moment in time between Phantom Menace and Rise of Skywalker, right? And the Sith don't either, and they go very deep. And we learn a lot about those things in the television shows. And we learn very little about those things in the movies. And I think that this series could have repaired that for the vast majority of fans. And Rise of Skywalker comes so close. Right? Last Jedi has like the trappings of here is the depth of Jedi-ness, right? Here is the first ever Jedi temple. Here are these ancient books in a tree. But then like we get nothing from it and no characters associated with it. And we burn it down. And like we get a little bit of Sith lore in the Rise of Skywalker, but like it's all also in like setting and trappings and like these big monoliths and like this crusty dagger, right? Like what I want is like the witches of that one planet that Maul comes from. Right? Those guys are so cool. You know what I'm talking about, Spencer?
The witches of oh my gosh. The Night Sisters is who you're talking about.
Yeah. Like I want like that sort of thing, or like the part in Star Wars Rebels where like they go to that Sith temple to get the Sith holocron or whatever it is. Like,
dude,
and the way that setting plays out is so cool.
Let's actually rewind, because I think we have the same could be better here, which is that they probably picked the wrong directors. I think
they needed more of a Star Wars nerd.
Yeah, like not only that, but like if you watch, there's an interview process, not even an interview process. There's like a whole video where Dave Filoni, Favreau, and
John Favreau, right? That's the other name that I'm
and George Lucas are doing like this round table. And Dave Filoni calls himself an understudy to George.
Yeah.
He's like, I am literally just extending you. And obviously after all of everything happened, Dave Filoni got promoted with Disney. He now is just in charge of Star Wars now.
Yeah, he's like lead creative design or whatever.
And like, had they just started that way, it would be better. That's the could be better, right?
The expectation was like, we're going to put a big name director on these films.
Well, hold on. I actually wouldn't be opposed to Dave Filoni executive producer J.J. Abrams director.
Sure. Like, I mean,
I actually think that would have been great.
Matter, right? Like, I guess writing is what really mattered here, not like, because the acting, like you said, is really good. Like, you're about to say.
I'm about to say it.
right? Like, the directing clearly is good on that level, right? The here is how to do this scene, right? Like, it's the what scenes are we choosing and what are we telling in these scenes that feels off.
I think that this series, this trilogy, I guess, is good. It's good individual films. It's good individual stories. It's just a really crappy...
Yeah, it was a bad situation for all involved, right?
Like, yeah.
It's both bad to put Rian Johnson in to make the second film after someone else makes the first, and it's even worse to put the same person back in. Like, if
dude,
there was three
I can't imagine being JJ. They're like, hey, you know how you set up Rian with, like, 16 different storylines, and he, like, took a knife and slit them in the throat? Can you come back?
Yeah, and the only relationship that like is deeper at the end of it than started is one with a character that wasn't in the first film.
All right, I'm gonna do Lovitz. I'm gonna rapid fire.
Heck yeah!
I think this is the best acting. I don't care about the overarching theme. I think that the actors of Daisy Ridley, John Boyega, and
Oscar Isaac
are literally better actors by a substantial margin. I love Mark Hamill. I love
Carrie Fisher,
and I mean, he's literally Indiana Jones. Like,
yeah,
Harrison Ford
like
is obviously great
in this situation. But...
yeah, it's hard. Here's the thing. The thing is that for all of these actors and actresses, they were the beginning of their careers, right? Like, this was Harrison Ford's big break. This was Mark Hamill's big break. This was Carrie Fisher's big break. And it's easier to be a greater actor at the beginning of your career now. And that's not true for what it's worth for Adam Driver, right? Like, Adam is just insane.
Which was exactly what he got.
Yeah, I know. Like, Adam is the outlier here, where like
he got some real Jake Gyllenhaal involved.
Yeah, he's we didn't even mention Adam Driver when we said those three, because like he's the fourth, but like the acting is insane. I will say this, and I'm I've said this on Twitter. I will put it out here. Force Awakens is better than A New Hope. And the reason is acting. Every single actor in that film is better, including Harrison Ford at that point in his career.
And
including
the aliens.
Yeah, like, all of it. It's just a better movie. It's the same movie, but better. Every actor is insane. Like, Daisy's insane. Oh my gosh. John Boyega in The Force Awakens is like...
He's sweating the whole time.
He's so good.
Yeah.
He's so good. It's so frustrating. In one of the scenes in...
Finn got done so dirty in this trilogy.
Dude. So in The Rise of Skywalker, when they're sinking in the sand, you're going to know this if you watch, like, unfortunately, the Lego Star Wars stuff afterwards.
There's actually a lot of Lego Star Wars, like a lot of names they get put in.
So when they're singing in the sand and he's like, Ray, I need to tell you something. Confirmed by JJ and then also confirmed by this Christmas special last year. Finn is Force sensitive. He's telling Rey that he's Force sensitive. She actually ends up training him as the next Jedi. But it's like the acting is so insane. And then the visuals, and I'm going to take a step back because I just dunked on Rian Johnson and said how much I wish he didn't do it. The Last Jedi is the most beautiful Star Wars movie to ever exist. Everything from the salt into red, from the throne room scene, like the whole thing is gorgeous.
Agreed.
It's unreal how beautiful that film is. Like, I can't even think of another film that hit.
Honestly, like that moment of like the stormtroopers and Kylo Ren walking across like the scorched like ground through the door of that fortress, like, is so good.
The whole that movie is one of the most beautiful movies I've ever seen. And I don't know how we got to this point, but I had to say it. The music in all 9 of these films is it's the best in all of film.
Yeah, I mean, John Williams is a great.
He's gonna die one day.
Yeah. It's amazing that he hasn't. Honestly.
What are we gonna do when John Williams is gone, dude?
Hope that we just can keep remaking film that he did original scores for, because it turns out that all I need in a
you just remix it.
Yes. Like, I just need to know that, like, this is the Pokemon Center theme I'm listening to.
I'm just going to read off some stuff because I don't think people realize. So, I'm going to say no Star Wars films. Are you ready? Schindler's List. Home Alone. Indiana Jones 5, which hasn't happened yet. Jaws, Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
All the other Indiana Jones films. E.T., Fiddler on the Roof. This dude is insane. Superman. That Superman theme. By the way, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. That
they reused for the rest of the series.
Yeah, the whole thing. That dun 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 dun. Hook. Oh, we have to do Hook as an episode.
We will. I instantly.
Oh, we have to. Hook is underrated. I'm not done, by the way, dude. They used John Williams through all of Harry Potter. They used he also returned, like, Lincoln, which was like one of the most popular films ever when it came out. Like,
he has to be the most Oscar decorated music.
What's even crazier is, like, I think he falls into the category of literally two people. Can you guess the other one?
Harrison Ford?
No. For music.
Oh, is it Rodgers or Hammerstein?
Ooh, that's a good one, but that's not who I was thinking.
Okay.
I'll give you.
If you can give me.
I'll give you a hint.
Let's see if I know the name.
I'll give you some movies. Okay. I think that Star Wars And then this other person, is it Gladiator, Dune,
Okay, I'm not gonna get there, sorry.
Inception? Okay, I'll give you some easier ones. You ready?
No,
The
like if you
Lion
said
King.
Inception and I don't know the person
The
who did the
Lion
score
King.
for it, I still don't know. It doesn't hit
Oh,
me. I
wait.
don't know the name. Or at least I won't know
Oh.
the name until you say it.
Oh, it's Hans Zimmer.
Oh, okay, yes.
I was gonna say, I thought you would got it after I said Lion King.
No, I just Hans Zimmer wasn't a name that was in my head at that
Yeah,
moment.
Ha I think him and Hans Zimmer are like,
Titans.
they're like the top. What's funny is I also thought Hans Zimmer did Pirates,
Pirates of the Caribbean.
but it is in fact somebody I don't Klaus.
For what it's worth, the key theme was written a very long time ago for Pirates of the Caribbean.
Sure,
So,
that's fair.
like, that was not necessarily.
No, I do think that, like, we haven't mentioned it yet, but, like, my son will literally listen to Star Wars music. Like, if I put on.
I mean, Duel of the Fates is like the best final battle music of all time, right? Like,
It's not just that, though. It's, like, the whole thing.
yeah.
Like, I'm gonna
Imperial
recommend another
March, Vader
podcast.
theme.
I'm gonna recommend another podcast on this podcast. Because I think that, like, if you're listening to us talk about this, and I actually know for what it's worth that you have not listened to this yet. So the podcast that I think everybody, if you're listening right now, you need to listen to, including US, is called Blockbuster.
Okay.
And the first two seasons cover the making of Star Wars, A New Hope, and the making of Jaws. And they follow the stories of George Lucas and Steven Spielberg.
Okay.
And I remember the moment where I am listening to the part where, I mean, for those who don't know, this is actually really important. Star Wars was going to suck. And George Lucas's wife, that I should know her name. Look that up while I say the next point, West. But like his wife and then John Williams saved the film. And what happens is they put Williams' score over the edit
Marsha Lucas.
that Marsha made, and everyone was in tears. And like you listen to this moment in this podcast, and I cried. Like I sobbed. And I think John saved what we now have as Star Wars. So I'm gonna move on before I cry, but I love the tie-in with Mando. Right before Rise of Skywalker came out, you saw Grogu healing with the Force, which was not something that had been done in movies before. It was something that had been done in video games, but actually not using your life force to heal others was not something. And also the established rules, which was really cool, especially for Rise of Skywalker. I love the comedy in between.
They can fly now? They can fly
Yeah,
now?
it's
They
so
can
funny.
fly now.
People hate it, but like I thought it was great. The whole thing, I loved the. It was the first time that we got to see these three characters together a lot. I thought that JJ did a great job, really incorporating it.
Yeah. There's it's there are so many things that I think are just incredible in this trilogy. I again going back to The Force Awakens, like those moments of like here is this thing you love once again, we get to check in on what's going on there. I really love like I think that like J.J. Abrams' strength in this trilogy is like there's a lot of things where it's like, you know, the ma remastered edit of the celebration at the end of Phantom Menace, right? Like I think of that scene and like the remastered edit of the end of Return of the Jedi as like moments where we get to like see the world in these like big, beautiful, colorful ways, and like there's a lot of that going on in this series. I do really like a lot of the dialogue, right? Like Star Wars is known for its snappy one-liners, and I think that you know, like, oh, they hate that ship, right? Like is another good example of it. I really just love the relationship between all of the like main cast members. Oh, something that I did want to call out specifically is I think that like Leia and Rey's relationship in this series like is truly touching and is something that Star Wars has been missing for a long time, is that level of like mentorship between women. I don't know. I think it was like, there is a lot that is disjointed in the series, and then you can also like see where all of these characters are at the end of it, and that's really incredible. Love the Grey Jedi moment right at the end of Rise of Skywalker. I think that that's like a really cool thing to set up for the first time in films. And actually, I just really like that Rise of Skywalker blurs the line between Star Wars Extended Universe stuff and what we've previously been able to see in the mainline films, because there is
huge,
a lot that's kept out.
Huge shout out here. This whole idea that all of the Sith live within
the lead Sith or whatever.
The lead Sith. I will not spoil it, but everyone should read the Darth Bane trilogy. Darth Bane is canon through the Clone Wars. West, I will buy all of the books for you. It's absolutely insane. And it touches on this.
Sweet. Give me a college diploma, and I'm all kinds of ready to read fiction for fun again.
Okay. I want you to go first. I want you to rapid rate each film. 0 to 5.
5, 4.5, 3.5. 5, 5, 4.5. And I do want to clarify that yes, I did just give a higher rating to The Force Awakens, even as it is not my favorite film in the
trilogy. I understand why. I get it.
Yeah. So,
to be clear, you also gave a really low rating, and I also gave a really, really low rating comparatively to the last film, but it is because of the second film.
I mean, I certainly think that like there were a lot of complications that made it harder to make The Rise of Skywalker the film it needed to be because of The Last Jedi, but also like it is fundamentally lacking in like the level of feeling I got from the other two.
Rate the entire series 0 to 5 as a trilogy.
This is going to make me have to remember where I've been rating the others at. And I
think you gave them both fives.
Did I? I'd believe it. Which frees me up to give a 4.5 here, I think. Because I don't believe that this is as good as the other two trilogies.
Man, I would give this a trilogy a 0.
Oh, I'd like a not helpful category. Like
I believe that this is not an actual cohesive story.
Sure.
And it is, as I said, I love The Last Jedi. I think it's all Rian Johnson's fault. I think it's a 0. I think it's not a cohesive story. Obviously, I just gave 5, 5, 4, and 5. Like, I think all of the films individually are great films. This is the first 0 I've ever given. I just don't think that it's like a...
Yeah. It's true that, like, thinking at it, like, I'm not sure, like, there's any reason why we can't start The Rise of Skywalker immediately after The Force Awakens. Like, we just have to figure out what happened to Snoke. There's, like, no change otherwise.
I honestly, like, if you just give JJ the second film, I would give this, like, a 4.5 or a 4, I'm sure. There's so much hype to live up to, it's impossible, but I love them. I hate to be the... I would have never expected, by the way, for me to give the first 0, especially around a Star Wars film. But I do think that it is not a cohesive story.
Yeah, I'll agree about that. And that is part of why it was the hard to end it.
Yeah. You can find me at Spencer13H. You can find West at East_Monotone. West wants to keep going. I gotta end him because we've been going for way too long.
No,
you're just okay. Considering.
Well, it's fun that we're at an hour and a half and I'm the one who wants to keep going.
Yeah,
that's unusual.
Yeah. Like and subscribe to the podcast, whether you're on YouTube or any other podcast platform. Leave a review if that's possible, or leave a comment if you're on YouTube. Next week, we're going to review The Labyrinth. Yes. What?
In 2 weeks, right?
2 weeks. Next thank time. You. Thank you. we're going to review The Labyrinth. I'm really excited for this. I love David Bowie. I think all of the actors, I think this is one of the better directed films. And I have not watched it in my adult life since I was maybe 18. So, like, I have watched it in my adult life, but it's been a long time. So, I'm really excited for it. Where can people watch it if they want to join in?
It's on Netflix, I'm pretty sure.
So, thank you, everyone. And we will see you all next time with another episode of the Need to Nerd podcast.
Boom.